is amazing performances. Get ready to start your day with Special K. And now, from the 1010 KXXT studios, here's your host, Kevin Pecos.
Welcome to another amazing performance radio broadcast. It's Monday, November 17th.
And you are right on the button, Kevin, right on the button.
Thank you for the positive support, Mark.
You betcha, Kevin, anytime.
Well, that's Mark Air Johnson. He controls the universe from the booth. Button pusher.
And sometimes I push the wrong buttons, but oh well.
Life can be a hang-up. I'm your host, Kevin Pecos, and together we're your new voice for morning radio in Arizona, bringing you the good news of people in sports and entertainment. Together we are the most listened to morning show on the air on radio in Arizona.
That's a fact.
Just ask us.
Yes, it's true.
Always remember that today is the future. Is it the future that you hoped for? And since mine is, I want to thank the people that make that possible. My wife of 28 years, Dana, Jamie and Jeremiah, Mom, Kip and the family, Jack and the four-pack. And Jack, you're not a dork anymore, even though technically you do qualify. Also want to remind everybody about Club 77. It's 7 in the morning and 7 at night. We just want you to take time and remember someone else and say a prayer. If you don't have time to spend an hour or two each morning in dedications and devotionals, then at the start of the day and at the end of the day before you wind down, just stop and don't think about yourself. Think about the people around you, people you know, people you've heard about that might just need a boost. Life by itself can destroy you even when things seem to be going well. Sometimes somebody needs to be out there praying for you. They don't need to know you're doing it, but they will get the result. Yeah, that was a good thing, and you're laughing like it was sinister.
I just feel destroyed, so I can relate to that.
Oh, okay. Hey, it's a common thing right now.
Yeah.
Especially right now. We are on the air 6 days a week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 8:30 for Amazing Performance Radio, and Saturday nights from 8 to midnight for ASPN, the Arizona Sports Network broadcast. You can find our web pages and listen online worldwide by going to azfl.com. And just pick out the show you want to listen to at the right time, of course. There's big banners at the top of each page. And on those pages, azfl.com will have stories, features, photos of the best in sports, everyday life, entertainment. And remember, we also cover the local sports, college pros, and our high school teams. And now we have a new week. Every Friday we do a high school hero segment where we're looking to find the best coaches and student athletes that we can and tell their story about it. I think we want to do the who said this?
Who said this? Alrighty.
It's time now for Who Said This?
I love his voice.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah. Well, the quote is, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." Do you know who said that?
I have no clue.
It was Dr. Martin Luther King.
Oh, wow. How profound.
And that was Who Said This? This. Or is it Who Said That? It's not my show. I just read this stuff.
He has a creative streak in him.
Yes, he does.
I'm not sure we should encourage it.
He has several creative streaks.
Well, in keeping with the title of our show, Amazing Performances, we try to find people from all spectrums of life who've, you know, otherwise would be ordinary folks who've found a way to become extraordinary. And as our guests will explain, it's a choice sometimes. And we have an author who's wrote many books, but the one we're talking about is called Buffalo Gal. And it's Laura Peterson. Are you there this morning?
Yes, I am.
What's the weather like in your neck of the woods?
It's pretty nice for November. I'm overlooking Central Park, and the trees are changing color. They're bright gold and red, and it's very beautiful.
Wow. No early snowstorms or chills?
No, it's not the New York you think of around the holidays on the ground level with the taxi cabs and people shopping and screaming.
That's the same way here, though. it's kind of crazy everywhere now. But your story caught my eye a little bit. I mean, the kind of things you've accomplished. Actually, I'm going to have to kind of let you tell it more or less, because it did catch my eye, because you've done a lot and you kind of being a latchkey kid, as you describe, I'd like to know how. And you became a millionaire early. You understand money, and maybe you can kind of give us a quick story about how you went from being just an ordinary kid to, at a very early age, with a seat on the stock exchange, and how that was possible.
Well, I think a key factor was I didn't have an older brother. And growing up in Buffalo, New York, there is a lot of snow shoveling involved. And so I ended up doing quite a bit of that. I'm actually an only child. And as light and fluffy as snow looks in Christmas specials and Hallmark movies, it's very heavy and it's very hard work to shovel a lot of snow. And Buffalonians don't talk about snow in inches. We talk about it in feet.
Right.
And I clearly remember being 8 and 10 and 12 and 15 and out shoveling that snow thinking, you know, I really don't want to do this my entire life. But there's a problem. Our family doesn't have a lot of money. I don't have a trust fund coming my way. And we're not real well connected. I don't think I'm going to be a legacy candidate at an Ivy League university. And for some reason, that snow just made me realize early on I kind of needed some plans. And that's when I got interested in the stock market, and perhaps it's as Willie Sutton said, you know, why did he rob banks? Because that's where the money was. I realized that, you know, money can buy a lot of opportunity. I mean, it can buy you goods, things that you might want, but it also can buy you an education, it can buy you travel, it can sometimes buy you safety or health care, and it also can buy you an opportunity to help other people. Since I've left Wall Street the past 20 years, I've worked at a school in East Harlem, you know, which is something I always wanted to do, but I couldn't have afforded to do that unless I made a career for myself first. Same with being a writer. I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't want to be in a cold apartment for 10 years struggling, because growing up in Buffalo during the energy crisis, I felt like I had already frozen to death, and I knew what it was like to be eating a cold can of beans in the kitchen, and I really didn't want to live that way for another 20 years. So it was off to Wall Street, and I can't say that I was particularly good at calculus in high school, but when you put a dollar sign in front of the numbers, suddenly I could do math in my head very quickly, fortunately.
Wow. Did your parents understand what it was you were trying to do, and how were they able to encourage you, or did they?
No, they thought I was crazy.
Oh.
But so did everybody. And I've since learned that when people think you're a little bit crazy and what you're doing is a little bit crazy, it's probably okay. You know, as long as they're not talking psych center and padded walls and purple magic markers. Just a little crazy. When I was growing up, I belonged to the, and I still do, the Unitarian Church, which is, it is a Christian religion. It's sort of the weak tea Christianity. We aren't outside the flock, but some people would say we might not be all together in it. And there was a lot of stimulus there to become aware of what was going on socially and politically. It was the late 60s and the 70s, and Buffalo was a flashpoint for race riots, Vietnam protests, because we were on the border of Canada, conflicts about abortion, because it was an 80% Catholic population at the time. And this shaped my thinking sort of along an independent route. Women in my neighborhood were housewives at that time. Occasionally someone would be a teacher or a nurse. But there was talk. There was talk about you could be a doctor, you could do this. And I sort of embraced that. I embraced the television show Mary Tyler Moore, where she had a career and she was living independently. And I thought, you know, that's for me, at least to get started. And I knew I would have to leave Buffalo. I loved my hometown, and it's kind of a sad story, Buffalo, that at that time the unemployment rate was about 40%.
Wow.
Five jobs would open up and 10,000 people would come out for them. So I had to leave when I graduated high school, and I came to New York City and got a job on the floor of the stock exchange, bottom level, lowest you could be. Well, if I had been a janitor, that if I messed up my job, that's where I was headed. And I had to work my way up.
Now, did anything you had done prior to going there and looking for that job point to that specific line of work, or did it just come up right before you went?
Actually, it was a bit serendipitous, but maybe this is just an example of throwing the spaghetti against the wall when you really want something. I was interested in the stock market, and I was calling up brokerage firms saying, do you have any job available? I'll take anything. I'm a big believer, and if you want to learn about something, you know, start on the ground floor, build a network, find out how it works, and work hard. But the brokerage firms all told me the same thing. You have to be 21. You have to be 21. And at the time, I had just turned 18. 21 was a million years away from my point of view. It's like when you're 12 and you want to get your driver's license. It just seems like eons. I couldn't wait that long. I kept calling and calling, and when I got a hold of the stock exchange itself, they said, well, to get a job as a runner here, you only need a high school education, and you have to be at least 16. And I said, well, I've got that. So it was basically the only place in America I probably could get a job in finance at that time. Wow. But I just kept hammering away, and I didn't have the internet at that point, so it was mostly using the yellow pages.
Yeah, that's, most kids today don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a blast.
And like the stock market, it's fading away too. And when we come back, we're about ready to go to break. I do want to have you talk a little bit about the stock market in today's current world, and is it even a viable option for making money? And we'll be back in about a minute and a half with Laura Peterson.
Heaven's Next, serving businesses and Christian organizations through web design, hosting, and development, streamlining your organization through programming and web-driven database applications. If you need help increasing your web presence, check us out today at www.heavensnext.com. That's www.heavensnext.com. Heaven's Next.
The Arizona Sports Network and Amazing Performances Radio, together on KXXT 1010 AM, The Double Dime, your new home for sports stories and scores from high school to the pros. On the air 6 days a week, bringing you the best, most amazing people in the world of sports and entertainment. Featuring interviews with top performers in the rodeo, boxing, football, basketball, movies, baseball, television, religion, and amazing people from everyday life. ASPN, Amazing Performances, and KXXT 1010 AM, heard live on the air and worldwide on the internet. Join your host Kevin Pecos 6 days a week on the Arizona Sports Network, together on KXXT 1010 AM, The Double Dime.
What do professional football players Shia Burley of the Arizona Rattlers and Deuce Latouille of the Arizona Cardinals have in common? Well, they both played in the Arizona Football League. The Arizona Football League is amateur club football at its finest. 11-man, full contact, knock the slobber out of each other football. Players 18 and over are playing every Saturday. Teams come from all over the state for games from January through May each year and have since 1995. The Arizona Football League, the place where keeping the dream alive is why we're here for you. Get in the game. Call 1-800-887-AZFL or visit us at www.azfl.com.
Welcome back. The music is KJ52, and yes, it's Christian rock or rap, and a lot of people have a distinct argument with the fact that you can have those two words together in the same sentence, but that's their problem. Our guest today is Laura Peterson, author of Buffalo Gal, and truly, there's not enough time to really kind of go into all the things you've accomplished in your life, but what I would like you to do is, just real quick before we get back to the great stuff, is with all the nonsense going on with the stock exchange and people talking about losing money, investing money, where should someone go to find a way to make money with their money today?
Well, if you're a young person and you want to make it your career, there are still a lot of opportunities, especially in trading foreign currencies and commodities. But if you're just a teacher or someone who already has a job but you would like to save for your retirement by investing in the stock market, these cycles are known to happen throughout history. If we didn't have them, then something would be wrong. So the thing to do now is really a good time to buy stocks. And as I said, if you already have a profession and you want to put money aside for your kids' education or your retirement, even if it's tough, take $25 a month and put it in an index fund, something like Vanguard. You can even do it online, where every month a number is automatically taken out and put into an index fund as a representation of a couple hundred stocks. And, just forget about it. And I guarantee in 10 years' time, if you just leave that money alone, you will actually be well on your way to being a millionaire. I mean, if you could see your way clear to putting aside $100 a month, put it in that index fund, don't worry about the ups and downs in the market, don't try to buy low and sell high. The market is your best form of return in the long run. It's been proven again and again. It's better than real estate. It's better than a lot of business investments. So that would be my advice for not failing. Don't become a day trader, trying to pick particular ups and downs with stocks, because the game is kind of stacked against you like a slot machine in Las Vegas.
And your advice makes sense, too, because a lot of people spend $100 a month on just snacks. So it's not going to hurt you.
Oh, it's the best thing you can do, because professionals talk about averaging. And averaging means buying when something is dropping and if it's going up. So you catch the lows. And that's exactly what you're doing by just putting aside that's $50 a month and forgetting about it. You're averaging. You're buying when you get these dips, and then you're holding on the way up. And that's the best kind of. I had a very intelligent stockbroker. He was about 90 years old the time I got to Wall Street managing people's money. He said, "You know what would make my life perfect? If I was able to invest their money and they only looked at the statement once a year, no matter what was going on. They couldn't be monitoring it every 15 minutes, because that's what, and at the end of every year, they just say, oh, I made 6%, or, oh, I made, wow, 22% this year." That would be his dream, and I see that would be terrific, but unfortunately, we do listen to the radio and the TV, and we get a little over-involved and get worried and start selling and buying.
Sometimes I think in all areas of life, we overthink process sometimes to the point where it's useless.
And I think we're somewhat encouraged to do that by all these trading firms and financial professionals that want you to do all this trading, because, of course, they make commissions. It's a little bit like Madison Avenue, putting images, especially of women. And then we have teenage girls who think their body image should be like this or like that, or they need this makeup or that. I think we are subject to some influence here, and even all these financial shows where they're trying to get you to overthink it. So it's difficult. It's very difficult. I think we're almost fighting back a little against instinct and a little against the media and a little bit against financial firms who are trying to sell us things.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's not easy.
It's very confusing. And I have some friends who are pretty astute, and they're walking around in circles trying to figure out which direction they're supposed to face now. So they're kind of trapped. But you had something funny, or I'm going to get in trouble for this anyway, but if people don't listen all the way through. But it's something about the first naked people you saw were Canadians.
You can still see naked Canadians in Buffalo if you go up there right now. Yes, they come across the border. Especially when the Canadian dollar is strong. It was in the 70s, and it is again now. And they shop, especially in malls. Go to a Buffalo mall today, 50% of the parking lot it has Canadian plates. But you don't want to bring new stuff across the border, because there are some, even despite free trade, there are some tax situations. And there's space considerations. So they tend to throw their old clothes. They wear old clothes on purpose. And they throw them off in the mall parking lot, and they wear, they cut off the tags, and they wear their new clothes home. So you can see Canadians changing in the mall parking lot. And I must say, our homeless, our shelter population in Buffalo, we do well with Canadian cast-offs. Of course, everybody looks like they're in that 70s show, but they're good warm clothes, and we appreciate that.
And you have another way of spotting Canadians.
Oh, the vinegar.
You're
they
right.
smell like vinegar. Yeah, the deer chase after their cars, the salt and vinegar. They like to put vinegar on their french fries instead of ketchup. I have to tell you, it's seeped across the border to some extent that if you go to a hot dog stand, Ted's Hot Dog Stand in Buffalo, they do have the vinegar there, and some Buffalonians have gotten into the spirit along with Loganberry and sponge candy. And of course, Buffalo chicken wings. We all know the chicken wing is the best part of the buffalo.
Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time. We went up to Wyoming this summer, and I actually had some friends that were asking me to take a picture of the buffalo with the wings on them. And they were serious. So, you know, I need some new friends. So I photoshopped it and sent it to them, and they're completely happy right now. You talked about driving in Buffalo in the snowstorms, and you basically said that they rarely does anyone fall asleep while driving there, and you had some pretty funny stuff about that.
Turn the wheel into a skid. That's the first thing we hear growing up. It's counterintuitive. It's like buying the Dow Jones right now when it's down so much. Yeah, well, 80% of the population was Catholic, and much of it still is. So it becomes even more treacherous when you get Catholics are crossing themselves while they're driving. And so now that only leaves one hand on the wheel on some very icy streets. And it was the time when the junkers ruled the road.
Yes.
The rest of the time, we sort of had to make way for the fancy Cadillacs and Lincoln Continentals. But when those roads got icy, we had a junker. We had one of those custom cruiser Oldsmobiles that was all dented up from bow to stern. And all you had to do was barrel down the street and just honk your horn, and all the Mercedes just had to wait for you to go by because they didn't want to get cracked up.
Is it true? My wife's from the Midwest, so she's seen some weather. But is it true that you have 6 months of winters, basically?
Let's say we never put our winter clothes in the back of the closet. There's no seasonal change situation. Well, sure, the earliest snowstorm, it was actually a thunder snow. They called it October 2006, Arborgeddon. It wiped out about 30% of the trees up there, and that was in early October, well, the 13th, and I've been there for snowstorms at the beginning of May. So, yeah, you have to think out your Halloween costume pretty carefully. The abominable snowman is a good idea. A ghost, throw a sheet over your parka. But you're not going to be going as a bunny or all these kind of scantily clad suggestions you get in the store. That's not a good idea for outdoors in October in Buffalo.
No. Well, we're getting near the end, so I'd like for you to tell people how to get hold of your book and find you on the Internet.
Well, I guess Buffalo Gal is available certainly at Amazon.com and at Barnes & Noble and Powell's and most online bookstores that carry books and many stores that carry books. And www.laurapetersonbooks.com has more information about the books in a way that book clubs, if they decide to read it, they can get in touch and we can have a book chat over the phone.
Awesome. Well, we're going to put that up on our website as well, along with your links and information. I appreciate you calling in. It was kind of interesting stuff, and you have some good advice. I don't think we had enough time. Maybe we can get together in the future and line up some more specific questions about finance and how you went with that. But thank you very much, Laura, for calling in.
We're God's frozen people.
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Mark, what do you think? You ready to make some money?
Hey, you know what? I can relate to that because I come from Michigan. I know all about the snow, but I don't know about the making money.
Yeah, my wife's from that area too, so you're on the same boat. Well, I think we're near the end, so I want to just say that reminding you that today is the future. Make sure the last thing you said to those you love is the one thing you want them to remember for eternity. We'll be back tomorrow. Write my name on a t-shirts and they be like, and that's why it's time for me to change. It's Rob Tweezer. I made it Rob Tweezer. It's Rob Tweezer. That's what my friends is calling. It's Rob Tweezer.
couldn't miss it when I tried to pass
it. On a Honda Civic with the muffler dragging.
Shoes off, hairy feet like Bilbo Baggins.
Back when I was living wrong, I need to get tipsy like Jake Kwan. But nowadays, all I need is God and a mic and a DJ and my iPod.
Attention seniors, when the whistle blows for the last time on your high school football career and you're not going to play in college right away, then stay in the game with the Arizona Football League. The AZFL is an amateur club league, so you keep your eligibility, plus you stay on film and can be seen by colleges. Since we began in 1995, more than 150 have returned to college. Teams are playing statewide for the 2008 season right now. If you're at least 18 years old and have your own equipment, then contact us at 1-800-877-AZFL or visit us at www.azfl.com. Stay in the game.